Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand, a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bosser. 35,000 people from Southwest Virginia received a letter recently informing them that their medical debt had been erased. A nonprofit in the New River Valley paid off their bills, as Roxy Todd reports.
This is the third time the Secular Society purchased medical debt. 2 years ago, they paid off $12 million. This year, they erased $51 million. The group purchased the debt in bulk.
The way that it's purchased is at a discounted rate, sometimes penny to the dollar, of true debt value.
Rachel Helton is a spokesperson for the Secular Society, a nonprofit based in Blacksburg. She explains people cannot apply to their organization to have their debt erased. Instead, the Secular Society worked with a third-party organization called Undo Medical Debt, which fines individuals who owe money to collection agencies or medical systems.
Medical debt can last a really long time. It can follow a person a really long time, sometimes for a lifetime.
The 35,000 individuals across Southwest Virginia, whose debt was eliminated, have a family income less than four times the federal poverty level, or had medical debt that's 5% or more of their annual income.
Many patients are hesitant and apprehensive about medical bills, so oftentimes they won't get treated. They won't go for preventative. They won't go when even acute or accidental things happen.
Helton says their group saw an increase this year in people with medical debt and those without enough income to pay it off. I'm Roxy Todd.
The Commonwealth has worked for years to expand broadband access, and there continue to be hurdles along the way.
Lots of companies in Virginia who are trying to deploy broadband to more rural areas and even parts of cities that don't get it are facing the same deadline and having the same problems.
We'll have more on that story from Fred Eccles and Cardinal News reporter Tad Dickens coming up in a little while. A former assistant principal is set to go on trial today, accused of ignoring warnings that a student brought a loaded gun to an elementary school in Newport News. Ebony Parker was the assistant principal at Richneck Elementary when the six-year-old student shot his first-grade teacher, Abby Zwerner, in 2023. Parker was charged with eight counts of felony child neglect, one for each of the eight bullets in the gun brought to the classroom. Zwerner was shot as she sat at a reading table. She spent nearly 2 weeks in the hospital requiring six surgeries and does not have full use of her left hand. A bullet nearly missed her heart and remains in her chest. Last year, a jury awarded $10 million to Zwerner and a lawsuit filed against Parker. The child's mother previously was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison for felony child neglect and federal weapons charges. Scientists at Jefferson Lab in Newport News are researching a way to boost the potential of fusion energy. Catherine Hafter of member station WHRO has details.
Fusion is a nuclear reaction that powers the sun. It could be an unlimited source of clean energy, but it's extremely hard to do here on Earth. Jefferson Lab hopes to improve the material that powers a fusion reactor. The team is using a technique called spin polarization to align tiny particles in that material, which they call fuel. Physicist Xiangdong Wei says this could make fusion almost twice as efficient.
If this one works, you can get the 80% extra energy without changing your regular design. It just putting in different fuels.
Mechanical engineer Philip Dobren says that's like suddenly doubling a car's miles per gallon. It could finally make fusion commercially viable.
I think it's going to really push the needle forward and really get a lot of companies over the line.
But the final product is still years away. Catherine Hafner, WHRO News.
The Roanoke City Council is set to resume discussion tonight on the Evans Spring Master Plan. In February, Council unanimously passed a resolution initiating a review and update to the undeveloped land in Northwest Roanoke. Tonight's conversation includes a vote on possible changes to the master plan with development concepts for those 150 acres. In 2024, the plan for commercial and mixed-use development was approved on a 4-3 vote. But last fall, Councilmember Faison Nash, who was elected that year, requested changes to the plan. Evans Spring sits adjacent to neighborhoods of largely black populations, including families displaced by urban renewal. Nash is the only black member on the 7-member city council. Suggested changes include conservation as a potential use of the land, along with a mix of education, commercial use, parks, and open space, rather than larger retail and commercial space. Virginia State Police are conducting a driver's safety campaign along the entire stretch of Interstate 95 in the Commonwealth today and tomorrow. Operation Disrupt will specifically target distracted and impaired driving in addition to speeding and seatbelt compliance. The agency says more than 190 people have died on Virginia roadways due to traffic crashes so far this year. VSP conducted a similar operation along I-95 last year, which saw no fatalities during the enforcement period. About 1,500 people recorded themselves and their Appalachian accents in an effort to create a snapshot of how the region's name is pronounced. Dave Cantor has this story.
Chuck Cora, who runs the Appalachia podcast and newsletter, collected submissions from 408 of 423 different counties within the area as defined by the Appalachian Regional Commission. The recordings sound like this.
My name is Angela, and I'm from the town of Appalachia in Wise County, Virginia. And this is my Appalachian accent. This is how I say Appalachia.
More than 87% of people who submitted recordings said latch, and 9% said lay. Cora said the response he's gotten to the collection has been fiery. Regardless of people's opinions, the West Virginia native said the project, and Appalachia in general, aimed to dispel myths around the region.
What we heard a lot from people over the years when we started talking about accents is like, you know, they appreciated us getting them in a positive light because they were always told to suppress or get rid of their accent or try to hide it because they wouldn't be taken seriously, like in a, you know, in settings outside of Appalachia.
Virginia Tech professor Charlie Farrington worked with the recordings and helped create data visualizations based on the submissions. He said in a few years, the Appalachian pronunciation might become even more dominant around the region's northern edges, where right now there's a bit more variability. I'm Dave Cantor.
The Virginia Museum of Fine Arts opened a new touring exhibit in early May. India's Great Mughals, Art, Power, and Opulence explores cultural works from the 15th to 16th century. Brad Kuttner has this report.
About 200 objects make up the new India's Great Mughals exhibit at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts.
The Mughal court was not just a site of power, but a place of scientific inquiry, of rational thought, a place shaped by ambition, imagination, and an enduring commitment to beauty.
That's exhibit curator Emily Hannum. She and the exhibit hail from the Victoria and Albert Museum in London as part of a world tour. Inside the exhibit, you'll be greeted by Mughal Akbar's House of Books, featuring illustrations from the leader's painstakingly detailed collections. According to the exhibit, Akbar couldn't read or write, but his, quote, voracious appetite for knowledge led to the creation of a workshop devoted to unprecedented levels of literary production, and designated staff to read to him from those volumes. Other objects include chalices and other tableware made from mother of pearl taken from layers inside shells plucked from the nearby Gulf of Kutch. Glazed earthenware tiles in glorious blues, burnt orange, and forest greens, also about 400 years old, dot the exhibit as well. Here's more from Hannum.
And all this artistic brilliance was inseparable from imperial power at a court that positioned itself right at the center of this cosmopolitan and interconnected world.
India's Great Mughals, Art, Power, and Opulence runs at the VMFA through August 8th. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
A dispute over the cost of replacing utility poles remains unsettled as Virginia looks to continue expanding broadband internet access. Comcast and Appalachian Power share the cost of replacing poles that can't support broadband infrastructure. In February, the FCC said APCO was charging Comcast too much for pole replacement. Now Comcast says it's still being overcharged. Cardinal News reporter Tad Dickens is covering the story. He spoke with Fred Eccles.
Tad, back in February, Comcast said Appalachian Power was charging it $8,000 for every pole that had to be replaced. Comcast took its dissatisfaction to the FCC. What happened next?
The FCC did hear it quickly and made a decision that Appalachian cannot charge Comcast full price to replace poles in Virginia when those poles already fail to comply with existing safety or engineering standards. Appalachian now is asking Comcast for 20% of the full cost. Comcast again disagrees with that, says that it shouldn't have to pay more than $100 a piece for the poll. It is asked for a new meeting to once again sit down with all the parties involved and see if they can get this worked out.
Now, there's federal funding involved here, and that's been known to complicate situations. How is it complicating this one?
In this case, federal funding from the American Rescue Plan Act has a deadline. The end of 2026. Get the work done or risk the government clawing back the funds, as they say. And it's mid-May, time flies, so that's an issue. At the same time, a whole bunch of new money from the BEAD, Broadband Equity and Access and Deployment Program, that money is coming online soon. That just adds a whole new complication to it. There are no specific deadlines that loom on that project, but, you know, one's tending to overlap the other.
And this is not an issue only for Comcast.
Lots of companies in Virginia who are trying to deploy broadband to more rural areas and even parts of cities that don't get it are facing the same deadline and having the same problems. The utility pole situation is, you know, one of the big stumbling blocks to all this across the board.
So then, Comcast and Appalachian are waiting again for the FCC to speak. Meanwhile, the government has created an entity. They call it the Rapid Broadband Assessment Team. What is this team contributing towards solving these problems?
You know, there are a lot of cases, and this is a part of an accelerated docket process designed in part to help meet these deadlines. And they're also meant to make this aspect of the broadband deployment process more transparent and cost effective. That's according to the FCC itself. They are working to resolve pole attachment disputes among the internet providers and the large utilities such as Appalachian and Dominion Energy. But, you know, this was their first case and it's continuing. We're talking about the team was established August 2024. The dispute between Appalachian and Comcast dates back to late 2025. So here we are approaching mid 2026. The wheels seem to grind a little bit slow despite efforts to make them fast.
Tad Dickens writes for CardinalNews.org. I'm Fred Eccles.
Cardinal News is a nonprofit online independent news organization covering Southwest and Southside Virginia. Checking out the forecast, hot starting out the week. Our next chance for rain comes Wednesday. Today, sunny, hot, a little breezy. Highs in the mid-80s to around 97 in Fredericksburg. Mostly clear tonight and mild. Lows will be in the upper 50s to near 70 in Richmond and Fredericksburg. More sun Tuesday, still breezy, a little hot, and highs moving to the mid-80s to mid-90s. Increasing clouds Wednesday, showers and storms from west to east as we move through the day. A little breezy too, highs from 79 degrees in Wise to 97 for a high in Fredericksburg and Richmond. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand, and a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.